Lord delivers him from them all. I wouldn't have been so torqued by that. If I had known John 16:33, where Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have some problems, some tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I wouldn't have been as upset about that. But again, how many of you know we judge things from our perspective? And if we have immaturity or blind spots or wrong thinking, we'll hear somebody say something and we just think they're terribly wrong and we find out they're not. But anyway, I heard Brother Hagin say another thing when I was young as a student. I went to Rhema at the age of 20. But he made this statement. I thought, Brother Hagin, that is a terrible thing to say. That is absolutely horrible. I didn't say it out loud, but I just kept it to myself. And then years later, I began to see, he made the statement. He said, many times, instantaneous healings are more of a curse than a blessing. I couldn't believe he said that. Because I'd come into the things of the Spirit of God through an instantaneous healing. 1977, 18 years old, Charles Hunter, remember Charles and Francis Hunter? Charles Hunter prayed for me. My back was instantly healed. I'd been in kind of pain for 2 years and God instantly healed me. And I just thought instantaneous healings were the most, they were kind of like the Mount Everest of spirituality. If you can get something. Now, can I tell you something? You preach a sermon on the God of the suddenlies, everybody will buy your CD. You try preaching a sermon on the God of the gradualies, you ain't selling one. They aren't even going to listen to the whole message before they tune you out. People don't want to hear about things that might take some time. I think instantaneous things are awesome and cool, but the reality is, you know this from pastoring, there's a lot of people, faith is a process for them. It's a growing process. Brother Hagin went on to explain, and I still didn't get it for probably many months or years, probably afterwards, but he said when people get healed instantly, he said that's wonderful, but he said that's usually due to an anointing or somebody else's gift. It's usually not based on the faith of the recipient. And he said, so when they get healed instantly, it's usually based on somebody else's faith or somebody else's spiritual gift and operation. He said, when the enemy comes back, he said that those people don't know how to hold on to it. Now, there are, how many of you know there's exceptions to that? And Brother Hagin knew there were exceptions to that. And this is not, because obviously Jesus had a lot of instant healing, so I don't think we should be totally against them. You know, but Brother Hagin went on to explain that when he would be in meetings long enough to get people solidly into the Word, where their mind got renewed and the Word could be medicine to their flesh and they could receive according to their own faith, then they tended not to lose the healing later. You understand what we're saying? So here's the thing. Paul got into his storm, listen to this, by the disobedience of other people. How many people in your churches, they're really not getting into a storm? They didn't do anything wrong. And they're not necessarily in a storm because they're just doing everything right. They might be. But see, when Jesus got into his storm, I kind of think, I'm inclined to believe, that was, where was he going on the other side? He was going to set free the demoniac, the madman of Gadara. And those demons, we know, did not want Jesus to get to the other side. Could that have been some kind of more than just a natural weather storm? Could that have been something kind of, I don't know the answer to that. But what we do know, Jesus rebuked it and man, it disappeared. It stopped. How many people do we work with in our churches that are in a storm because of somebody else made a dumb decision? Somebody else made a wrong decision. You know, there's, I'm going to tell you where I am on this. You know, there's a million conspiracy theories out there. They can't all be right. You know, maybe some one's right, maybe some partially right or whatever. I'm not going to get into that because for me to get into that means I have to take my eye off the ball.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say, Tony, I want you to strengthen churches and leaders and figure out who killed JFK. And he didn't tell me, Tony, I want you to strengthen churches and leaders and figure out if this coronavirus was really from somebody eating a bat in China or was it from a lab? You can speculate on, and you're going to hear all kinds of different things. I don't know, you know. I'm sure there's all kinds of fishy, weird, crazy stuff. I've been to China. I've seen what they eat. I'm surprised there aren't more viruses. But I'm not gonna spend a lot of time, energy, and effort because number one, I know there's a million different people saying a million different things. But what if somewhere in this process somebody did do something they shouldn't have done, or you know, we're hearing, well, the Chinese government lied and covered it up, and so, you know, okay, so they messed up if that's what happened. So maybe we're dealing with a problem because somebody else made a mistake, whether it was intentional, unintentional. What, you know, I don't want to sound like a certain politician. What difference at this point does it make? I never thought I'd quote that. I just want to retract that. Would you please erase that from the CD? I don't want to. No, I'm kidding. But I've got to stay focused on my assignment. I've got to stay focused on my mission. And see, Jonah had a mission to get to Nineveh. Jesus had a mission to get to the other side. Paul had a mission to get to Rome. Jonah made it to Nineveh. Jesus made it to the other side. Paul made it to Rome. They faced three different kinds of storms that came for three different kinds of reasons. Jonah's storm came because of his own dumb self. The disciples got into their storm because they were perfectly obeying Jesus. Doesn't that stink when you're doing exactly what God wants you to do and you face a horrible attack? You ever done that? And think, God, I you know, and you look there, I can't think of any sin. You know, you go searching, you can't think of, you know, you start confessing things that you know were forgiven 20 years ago. They don't have any. Sometimes you get into a storm because you're doing the right thing, not because you're doing the wrong thing. But you know, and then Paul got into a storm because somebody else made a mistake. And you know how he got out of it? It wasn't instant. He had to ride the storm through till they ran up on a sandbar outside of Malta. He had driven all the way across the Mediterranean in that 15-day period. It was, oh, I can't imagine how horrible that was. No wonder that Luke wrote, and after these many, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. There may be some people on your ship, your church, that are exactly like that. They've given up hope. They don't see how things are going to work. They haven't been able to work their jobs. You know, they may have different issues going on. You know, all kinds of things are happening sociologically because of the isolation that is happening. You know, people in homes with, if there's a propensity toward domestic violence, that's skyrocketing. If there's anybody in the home with an inclination toward any form of mental illness, the isolation and all the media is fueling that. So what I'm saying is you're needed now more than ever. We need to be on our game now more than ever. And I've got friends all over the country. I'm talking to people and finding out, what are you doing? And, you know, that type of thing. My meeting... And please, I'm not saying this is a complaint in any way, shape, or form, but 2 weeks from tomorrow, I was supposed to be in Oregon, and a wonderful pastor, good, great guy, and he called me last week and said, Tony, said, I think we're going to need to cancel you. He said, we just got turned in. We just got reported to the authorities because we were disregarding the no more than 25 people in the building rule. And he said, hate to cancel you, but we probably need to fly under the radar a little bit right now. So I told him, I thought he was like the biggest coward I've ever... No, I did not tell him that. I did not tell him that, nor do I believe that. I think he's a wonderful brother, and I think he's probably doing what's best for him. Like I said earlier, I don't think everybody's necessarily supposed to do exactly what everybody else is doing. I know a few people that are, you know, man, they're, boy, that's God. The guy who hates charismatics, John MacArthur. A friend sent me, I haven't read the whole article, I probably should read it before I communicate this, but I glanced at it, and he basically said in California, we are not going to follow the rules. And there's a number that are taking that position, and God bless them. I have friends who are saying, you know, we're going to follow the guidelines, you know. And we have friends that are kind of somewhere. But you know what? I'm not going to answer for what this pastor does or that. That pastor's going to answer to God. There's a major leading pastor in this country just recently that said, we aren't going to have services for 2021, until 2021. Well, personally, I think that's kind of horrible. Yeah. But I'm not going to answer for him. That's between him and the Lord. You know, there comes a point where we have to say, you know what? I see things from my perspective. And the Bible says, you know, who are you that judges another man's servant? And he said, you know, to his own master he stands or falls. And so I have to do what my conscience allows, what my faith allows. But I also have to be respectful of somebody who has a totally different perspective. They may have totally different dynamics in their church than what I know anything about. So the thing is, and part of the thing that complicates this is because people are so heavily opinionated about it. And I don't fault people for having strong opinions, you know. People have opinions. But the thing that makes it hard for many of you as pastors is, for some of you, if you have service, you clearly don't care for people. But at the same time, if you do have service, or let's see, if you don't have service, you're a coward. You know, some people think that masks are a sign of consideration, you know, because you're being considerate of other people and, you know, helping. But for other people, if you're wearing a mask, that is the mark of the beast. You have already bought into Satan's system. And which, if it is the mark of the beast, Sam, I'm sorry, we aren't going to see you in heaven. And, you know, and to be honest, you don't know why somebody's wearing a mask, so leave them alone. They may have been around somebody that maybe, and they're really trying to be considerate. Or, you know, they may be in a situation where they've had a compromised immune system or some kind of serious problem. So, I tell you, this is really an important time. We need to be people of strong conviction, but our convictions need to be about the mission and the mandate. Not the peripheral things that, you know, honestly, 10 years from now, we're going to look back on this. And, I mean, we've already seen a million different this, do this, don't do that. And we've seen it change. That's why so many people have so much confusion and who do you trust and things like that. Well, the main thing is stay focused on the main thing. And that is, we're here to preach the gospel. We're here to teach the word. Our mission is unalterable. Our methods may change from time to time. Really, they may change from week to week. But I think most everybody's doing the best they can with what they have to work with, and I think that's really the order of the day. We do the best we can with what we have to work with. We understand the difference between mission and methods. Mission is eternal. It is grounded in the Word of God. Certain methods are temporal and they fluctuate and things like that. I mean, if you go back and study church history, how drastically methods have changed over, you know, things that we think are sacred today. Do you know, one time for hundreds of years, there are churches in the world today still don't have chairs. They have 3-hour church services, no chairs. And if you brought a chair into their church, they would think that was sacrilegious. Well, they're people of a different nationality, background. But to them, that's a methodological thing. To me, I like a chair, especially if it's got nice padding like this. But if we didn't have chairs, it would be okay to have church standing up. What I'm saying is we need to major on the majors and really minor on the minors. Let's see if I have anything else specifically here that I wanted to communicate.